This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be with you all. My joy to welcome you to West End United Methodist Church, especially if you're visiting with us and this is your first time here. We hope that you feel welcomed in this place, that you have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you, and that you feel the Spirit of Christ moving amongst us this morning. One of our practices as a congregation, as a way of getting to know one another, is to sign in on the registration pads. Hopefully they are making their way down the row, and if you would sign in to let us know you were here. And if you're visiting with us and perhaps are looking for a place to call your church home, please share your address or your email address with us, and that'll give us an opportunity to reach out to you. If you have been visiting for a little while, or perhaps this is your first time and you are looking for a church home, I want to invite you to the West End 101 Sunday School class. It starts on January 21st. It runs for 4 weeks during the Sunday School hour, 9:45, meeting downstairs in McWhorter Hall. We'd love to have you join us there. Wednesday nights are starting back up this week, so we will gather for dinner downstairs in McWhorter Hall, and if you're able to come, please let us know by making a reservation, and we'll have children's choirs and adult classes and all sorts of opportunities for community and spiritual growth, so that starts back up this week. Also, for those of you who may have little ones in your household, our preschool registration is starting up for 2018, so there's information about the insert in that, but wanted to give you a heads up about that. I also just want to take a moment to celebrate all of the wonderful ways that the light of Christ was shining through this congregation in our community during the season of Christmas. We provided gifts for hundreds of children. We welcomed folks off the street on cold nights and offered food and shelter and hospitality. So many ways that you are living out the loving light of Christ in this place. And I give thanks to God for you and for the way that God uses you each and every day. Yesterday was the day of Epiphany. January 6th is the day where Christians across the world celebrate the visit of the Magi to Jesus. And so today we hear that story together and we allow those wise ones to teach us and inspire us as we come to this time of worship and joy together.
Thank you. up your eyes, O lands of the earth, for the star of the Lord has burst through the night.
We shall
arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of heaven has risen upon you. Let us now declare your presence among the nations. Let us acknowledge the darkness in our lives, repent of our sin, and receive the light of God's mercy as we pray in one voice. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves Christ's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the New Testament. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God.
Like many of you, it was about a month ago that my family and I got down all those boxes from the attic and put up all our Christmas decorations. We got our tree and our ornaments and all of that put out, and then it was time for the nativity sets. I have several. It's one of those things I like to collect when I'm in a different country, maybe on a mission trip or whatever. So I have a really neat one from Mexico. I've got this one from Uganda that's made out of banana leaves. It's really wonderful. One from Germany that's sort of shaped like a triangle with a little propeller that spins when you light the candles. And then, of course, I have the traditional ceramic set that we got from my parents when they moved out of their house. That one gets the biggest place because it's the one I grew up with. Well, when we were setting that one out this year, tragedy struck. We dropped one of the Magi. Broken into many, many pieces. And my first thought was, oh no, we've ruined the nativity set. We don't have three kings anymore. But then I remembered my theological training and realized, wait a minute, it never says anywhere that there were three. Did you ever notice that? Everything we know about these wise ones is what you just heard. Just a few verses in Matthew's gospel. And Matthew never says how many of them there were. So maybe my nativity set is more accurate than yours now. We know there were at least more than one, so maybe there were two, maybe there were three, maybe there were 5, 10, 12, 20. We have no idea. And while I'm debunking all of these things, they weren't kings either. So the little crown that fell off his head when he dropped, that's okay too. Because Matthew doesn't say they were kings. Somewhere along the way in the Christian tradition, they were called kings, but they were magi. Now, who were these magi? What do we know about them? There's a lot we don't know, but what do we know about them? Well, from what many of people smarter than I have put together, these folks were probably priests of some kind. They were from a land far, far away. They were not Jews. They were Gentiles. They did not grow up going to the synagogue and learning the prophets and inheriting that expectation of the Messiah. They probably practiced Zoroastrianism, which is a long word, but it's a whole nother religion practiced far east of Bethlehem and Jerusalem. But as priests in that religion, if that's what they were highly educated. They were very sophisticated. They were looked to as the wise ones in their society. Great respect. And they had spent their lives studying the stars and perhaps the religious texts of other cultures. They were experts and often called in to counsel the leaders and the rulers of the government. But think about it. These wise ones, with all of their learning, with all of their education, with all of their sophistication, were still seeking something. They recognized that something was missing. Even with all that they had and all that they knew, there was more. They looked up into the night skies, and within them was this understanding that there was a God who had created this wonder and this beauty. And I think within them was a deep longing to know that God and to be known by that God. And so they searched the skies, and they watched, and they read, and they studied, and they waited. Can you imagine how they must have felt on that night as they were looking at the stars and realized there's a new one, a star they had never seen before. It wasn't there the night before. And there it is. And somehow within them, they knew that this star was beckoning them, that in this star was the answer to what they had been seeking and longing for. And I don't understand how they made the connection, but somehow they connected this star with the birth of a baby among the Jews. They weren't even Jewish. I don't know why they cared about this little band of people in a nation far away. Perhaps it was the Holy Spirit revealing to them that the key to what they sought, that the revelation of the God of the universe in the stars, could be found in this little Jewish baby born in Bethlehem. And so they set out, how many ever of them there were, they set out on this long journey. And they got as far as Jerusalem, and they began to ask in Jerusalem for directions about how to find this prophesied king. Someone has said that's how you know they were wise, they asked for directions. Now, we know that their questions stirred up a lot of trouble. When Herod heard that there might be another king of the Jews, or there were people from far away who'd heard this prophecy, he was deeply troubled. And he starts pacing back and forth in his palace because anybody who threatens his power and authority makes him nervous. But you know what? We're going to leave Herod in his tower today. I want to keep following these wise men and see what they have to teach us. So they learn while they're in Jerusalem that Bethlehem is the place where they expect this child to be born. And so they begin heading that way, and lo and behold, there's the star again. That star that called them in the first place is now beckoning them forward to Bethlehem, and then it stops. And they are overwhelmed with joy. These highly educated, sophisticated wise ones from far away, counselors to kings and powerful people, are overwhelmed with joy when this star stops above the most humble house you can possibly imagine. Matthew says that the Holy Family was living in a little house in Bethlehem. And it wasn't a palace. It wasn't the place where a great king would live. There wasn't gold on the door. It wasn't an extraordinary place. It was an ordinary, maybe below average, home of a poor person. And yet they were overwhelmed with joy. And they walked inside, and there they saw a little baby being held by a young peasant girl. And you know what? They weren't disappointed. Isn't that amazing? Here they had come all this way looking for the king of the Jews, these high-minded, highly sophisticated people, and they see a humble, poor child, and they are not disappointed, because in that moment, they see the face of God, and they know it. They know they have found everything they have been seeking for their whole lives. Somehow they know that this child is the answer to every question they have ever had, every deep longing they have ever felt. And you know what they do? They kneel down and they worship him. Now, our English translation is not strong enough, I don't think. It says they pay him homage. But the word really means they worship him. They see in him the God of the universe who created all of the stars. And they fall on their knees and praise and glorify that God in the face of this poor child. And then they open up their treasure chests and they give him the most wonderful gifts they can give him because they are overwhelmed with joy. I was really struck by that when I read this story again, that this little baby Jesus had not done anything for them yet. He hadn't solved any of their problems. He hadn't. But they worshiped him because of who he was. They worshiped him because they saw in him the God of the universe, and that was enough to fill them with joy and to pour out all of the gifts that they had. So we've put away all our Christmas decorations now, and I put away all our nativity sets and the little ceramic ones, now have two instead of three. But as I was putting them away, I said a prayer of thanks to God for those wise ones. So often I just take their story for granted, or I think about them as these exotic visitors from far away who really have nothing to do with me. But really, we are more like them than we realize. Aren't we sophisticated and highly educated, and don't we strive to know everything we can know and want to know all the answers and have everything we think the world tells us we should need? And yet, don't we also feel within us that deep longing to know God and be known by God? So can we, like these magi, discover in Jesus Christ everything we have ever longed for? Can we find it in ourselves to worship him because of who he is, as a sign of God's love for all? Can we bring our offerings because we are overwhelmed with joy? It's a challenge for me because so often I worship and the plates come up and I give my gifts more out of a spirit of obligation, or it's kind of what I should do. It's what Mama told me. And these wise men challenge me to discover in Christ the answer to all of my longings and to find in him overwhelming joy. May that be our response today. May we learn from these ancient wise ones. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer this morning, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you'd like to share, please fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you. You can place them in the offering plates as they're passed in a few moments. Please indicate if you would like your prayer request to be shared or remain confidential. This morning we celebrate the birth of Charles Aubrey Moore, who will be called Charlie. He was born December 21st to Sarah Jane Park Moore and Chase Moore. Let us now offer to God our prayers. Let us pray. Lord of bright and abiding light, you have shown us a new way to live. You have poured your light into the world and have asked us to live in the light rather than in the darkness of doubt and despair. You promise to be our light all of our days and ask us to place our trust in you. So in this new year, O God, we bring to you the names and situations of others for whom light seems to be a stranger. They struggle with ill health, economic hardship, broken and damaged relationships, loss of loved ones, and anxiety. We place them in your care, Emmanuel. Let your light shine on them, bringing healing and hope. And help us to be bearers of that light in all that we do. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'd like to invite Jeff Hoffman to come forward. He's going to offer a ministry moment.
Good morning. Project Transformation provides low-income children summer and after-school programs run by college-age young adults, providing them leadership development and ministry exploration opportunities. And it provides site churches in these underserved communities the opportunity to reconnect and build relationships with their neighbors. Since its beginning in 2012, PT has served over 2,000 children, through 231 young adults in 9 churches. As a volunteer in my 3rd year at Antioch's after-school program, I'd like to share where I see God at work in PT. I see it in the children and their free spirits, their honesty, their lack of holding back, whatever it is they want to tell you, typically matters of joy, but sometimes sadness, anger, or confusion. I see God at work in the brains of these children as they learn and grow, for there is nothing better than being present with that child when that which is unknown becomes known and understood. I see God at work in the trust and comfort that builds over time, so that there is no fear in confessing not to understanding a homework assignment, and that goes for them and me. I see God at work through the volunteers who give generously of their time, talent, and wealth. The ladies who volunteer at Antioch are amazing, patient, loving, caring, smart, and funny, and I'm blessed to have them in my life. I see God at work through the fellows, coordinators, and interns and their eagerness to serve. I remember what my focus was when I was their age, and I find myself a bit jealous of their chosen path. I'd like to grow up to be like them one day. And though I get a bit frustrated at our city school system, I know God is at work in the teachers that see these children daily. I know it from the stories they tell, and I see it in the teachers giving up their own time and showing up to PT Family Fun Night. God is working through the site church pastors, and I certainly see this with James Cole, pastor at Antioch United Methodist, a man of endless faith, generosity, and a love of all God's children. I see God at work in the PT administration through their efforts, cycling through creating, sustaining, and growing programs, and then securing the human and financial resources to make it a success. Maybe you're on the fence about getting involved, or you've helped a little bit, and you're unsure about going deeper. But please don't hesitate to take that next step. Whether it be reading in the summer, tutoring after school, or providing your financial support, please join the love, join the community, join the transformation. As we remember the gifts of the Magi this morning, let us offer our own gifts to the Christ child.
Thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, O God, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. You sent a star to guide the wise to where the Christ child was born, and in your signs and witnesses, in every age and through all the world, you have led your people from places far away to his light. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, and then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and joy and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Now, with the confidence and joy of God's children, let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. the body of Christ, the bread of life. A humble loaf becomes the bread of life. A simple cup becomes the cup of salvation. As we prepare to come to the table today, the first word I want to say is that this is an open table. Our host is Jesus Christ, and all who are here are welcome to come to the table, regardless of your age, your religious background, whatever it may be. You have a place at this table. If this is your first time to receive in this particular congregation, we'll be led forward by our ushers to kneel at the altar rails and receive. The choir will go first, followed by our friends in the balcony, then the transepts, and then the main area of the sanctuary. We always have gluten-free bread available at the station closest to the lectern. As you come forward to kneel, if you would have your hands open, that would allow our servers to know that you have not yet received. And if you need gluten-free, please let them know at that time. As Jeff has shared with us, our ministry for this month is Project Transformation. So as you come forward, we invite you to make a gift as you feel led to support this wonderful ministry. Also, we wanted to let you know if you're unable to come forward, Becky and I will be making our way around the sanctuary. So if you would let us know or one of our ushers know, we will come and serve you in your seat. The table has been set. The invitation has been given. Now let us come and receive the grace that is offered. the prayer after receiving. Will you stand as you're able and join me in prayer? You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. The light drew the wise men toward Bethlehem, and the light of Christ draws us out into the world even now to share God's love, God's grace, and God's hope with all. Go in that light and in that peace. Amen.